In a dramatic escalation, Iran's Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi issued a fatwa declaring the U.S. President and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu enemies of God and Mohareb, accusing them of threatening Iran's leadership after U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iranian facilities. The decree was echoed by Ayatollah Nouri Hamdani, who urges Muslims worldwide to oppose them, sparking fears of incited violence. Joining us to discuss this, Mohammad Khatibi. He's a broadcast journalist and an Iranian foreign policy expert. And Professor Kinvraj Jangdid at the adjunct faculty at Ben-Gurion University. Daniel Block joins us, as does James Bowden, who's an Arab and Middle East expert. Mohammad Khatibi, is this a call for violence that we are looking at this stage from the Ayatollah? Basically, is it a death threat to the U.S. president and the Israeli prime minister?
I don't think, not at all, because the fatwa is a response to threats against Iran's leader, and this is a symbolic response to what Trump and Netanyahu have been saying for many years, and their threats have become more clear in these days, and they have threatened him personally and have said that he is in reach and they are not willing to kill him. And this is a clear response to those. And this is not a call for violence, because no one wants to kill Trump or Netanyahu. This is a symbolism, because there are threats, rhetorical threats against Iran's leader. And this is just a response to threats against the leader, nothing more.
Professor Jangid, how do you look at those, at the threats themselves?
Thank you, Vishnu. I worry about it. We remember it well. 2 years back, Salman Rushdie, the author, who had this very, decades-old fatwa against him, it did inspire somebody to attack him. There is a population, and we all respect that religious faith system, but fatwa is a very, very powerful tool for the faithful. And particularly issued from authorities, it carries a lot of influence. It really carries a lot of influence. And this is the whole problem with the regime. Iran, unfortunately, went on to this religious messianism since 1979. Otherwise, Iranian nuclear program could have actually garnered much greater support among countries like India and the Third World Solidarity. So I worry about this rhetoric, and I think this rhetoric will be amplified in coming months more, because Iran does have to, in a way, regain a public face after this very setback that the regime had. Israel and America did something that Iran couldn't have really taken, and they will have to really do this loud mouthing for a while to claim all sorts of things.
Daniel Block, do you believe that this rhetoric is just the start of, more posturing between Israel and Iran, or America and Iran? Because the situation, while there is a ceasefire, it's an extremely tenuous ceasefire. We don't know the contours of that ceasefire. And therefore, this could be a prelude to, or this could be just part of a pause, that, the actual possibility of military action hasn't really died out.
Well, let's say I don't know how much power this particular cleric has within the Iranian system, but this is a continuation of stuff we've seen coming out of Iran for a while now, and between Iran and the United States and Israel, where Iran, attempted to or plotted to assassinate Trump during the presidential campaign, so in between his 2 terms in office. We know they tried to assassinate Mike Pompeo, who was the Secretary of State during his first term in office. So, we know that the Iranian government has expressed routine interest in killing Trump or members of Trump's cabinet. So it's not terribly surprising to me to that extent. And likewise, as we were saying before, we know that Israel was interested in assassinating the Iranian supreme leader. I think what's interesting to me to some extent is there's typically been a norm in wars, at least in recent years, against the killing of the heads of states of various countries. And we see to some extent here that that might be breaking down in various ways. So far, it's held, at least largely as we know. None of these people have been assassinated. And I would add that killing Trump right now would be extremely, extremely difficult. If they couldn't do it when he was not president, attempting to do it when he is president, I think it's incredibly difficult. and would fail. But we do see continued high levels of tension, continued interest in violence.
Okay. And James Warden, how do you actually see the ceasefire progressing? Do you ever expect a scenario where both sides get down for some serious negotiations to sort of spell out the contours of a peaceful solution?
I really don't. What I'm looking at is, I think, about a 6 month to a year process in which both sides will go back, reevaluate everything that has happened, and then they will likely collide again, probably beginning sometime in 26. Right now, the Israelis are evaluating everything that happened as is proper, and they are even releasing through the media that they need to amplify their military capabilities, including their ability to get into far eastern Iran. That became a huge impediment to their campaign. They demonstrated their strategic depth is really about the, let's say, eastern part of central Iran. And so they came out in Jerusalem Post, very surprisingly, and said, we need additional capabilities to get us further in, and we need to do that both airborne and also possibly at sea platforms. So you may see Israel develop some kind of limited carrier capability because they want to be able to expand their regional depth.
All right. Well, it is all fairly uncertain at this stage. Let's just hope that, the ceasefire for the moment holds. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.